Vectis Radio.
Welcome to Maggie Talks To, a series of in-depth conversations with people who live and work here on the Isle of Wight.
So I'm here today with Richard Tilsley, who's the General Manager of Southern Vectis, the island's buses. Hello, Richard.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good. Can I ask you some questions such as, were you born here on the island?
No, I was born in, sadly not, I wish I was born on the island. No, I was born in Bolton in Greater Manchester.
Oh, right. What's it like in Bolton?
Colder and wetter than it is on the island.
Oh, is it a nice place?
Lots going on there. Obviously, close to central Manchester, and there's lots of regeneration over the past years, and nice enough. But I left there when I was 7, so it's not really. Yeah, we moved around a fair bit, and then I kind of, what I would say is my family home is in County Durham.
Right.
So I lived there for the majority of my younger years that I remember.
County Durham's fascinating, isn't it? Because you've got that open museum.
Yeah, at Beamish. Yeah, my parents in their latter years moved to literally the next town down from Beamish, so we go there quite regularly. But there's lots of history around my parents, or whether it's coal mining or farming, or it was right near where the trains were invented in Shildon, so lots of history.
Bet there is, yes. So did you like school?
Primary school was hit or miss, depending on who the teacher was. Secondary school I generally enjoyed. College, sixth form, enjoyed that, and university was good.
So what made you go to university? Was it a particular subject, or you just thought you ought to, or you wanted to?
It's more my parents pushing me to. I kind of guess it was just a natural. I didn't really think about doing anything else, and I didn't really want to move too far from home, so I went to the University of Northumbria in Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
And travelled up and stayed with friends rather than stayed away, because I had a job locally where I lived and a lot of friend groups, so tried to make it work for me.
What jobs did you do?
Oh, I worked. I was a cook in a chain pub near where we lived, and then I moved on to work at, they opened a new Asda supermarket. So I went to work there working night shifts.
When I was
at university. I had enjoyed that, yeah. I got to. I started off by just stacking random shelves, then I was doing the promotional ends, and then they strangely put me through as a random 17-year-old through my forklift truck driving test so I could do the warehouse of an evening to help out.
Magic.
Especially at Christmas when it got really busy.
Yeah. But all those skills are transferable, aren't they?
Well, I think so, yeah. Kind of real-world skills and hands-on getting involved with things, I think, is always... led me pretty well through life.
So what did you study at university?
Geography, but specifically human geography. It's kind of where people do what they do, where they do it.
Yeah. Was that interesting?
Very interesting. So it's not just geography, is kind of the first year is you do a bit of all geography, so physical geography and mountains and rivers and formations of land, whereas human geography is more around why certain areas of the world do people do differently to other things, and there's lots of different subjects to get stuck into. So it was very varied, and you get a good understanding of different people's understandings and knowledges and their beliefs.
Fascinating. So then you went off to college, did you say?
College was before university. It was a sixth form that was attached to my... Quite a few of my friends went off to a separate college in a bigger town from where we lived. But I stayed, and there was a sixth form hooked onto my secondary school, so I stayed there. And studied, geography, history and business economics.
Ooh.
I think were my three core subjects.
It's a mixture.
Yeah.
Once you were at university, did you decide what it was you wanted to do when you left, or was it something that happened?
I never really had a plan of what I wanted to do. I was fairly keen on, when I worked at Asda, I really enjoyed working there. I could see myself going into a trainee scheme there and becoming a manager.
Right.
That was in my mind. But my dad was he worked in the bus industry for all of his working life, really. He had a keen interest in buses. So it's always been we'd always been around buses. My mum and dad actually messed. My dad was a driver in Manchester, and my mum was his clippy, his conductress, and that's how they met. And then my granddad on my mum's side was a bus driver as well. So buses are in my family. I never really saw myself doing it. And then kind of when I was up finishing university, I think I was going to stay working at Asda and take a while to decide what I wanted to do. And my dad told me, no, you won't. You'll get a proper job and start earning some money to pay me back some.
A proper job, right.
So I applied to work. I applied as a bus driver at the company he worked for up in Newcastle and Gateshead, and started there as what I thought was going to be a part-time bus driver for 6 months. And I'm still in the industry now.
Well, it's at least a year on now, isn't it? And the buses you drove, they're not the same as the buses we got here now, are they?
Oh, they are the first kind of generation of the more modern low-floor easy-access buses. They've come a long way since then. But I did drive some of the buses that were the old ones with loads of steps and really dirty engines, whereas buses now are... Even the diesel buses now are extraordinary, clean and environmentally friendly, whereas back then they probably weren't, but still better than many cars travelling around.
Yeah. So what made you move on to wherever it was you lived next?
So I was a bus driver for a couple of years, and I moved up to be a supervisor. And then the company I worked for closed down the depot I was working at. So I got offered to go and work for another company who were transferring the assets or to move to work at a different depot of the company I was working for. So I chose to do the latter, better definitely, I think is what I worked upon. But then I think my opportunities were limited. And I think I got to that point where I wanted to move on. I wanted to do more. I could see myself having a career.
Right.
So I applied for, given I was living in the north of England, I randomly applied for a job as an assistant manager for Stagecoach based in Aldershot.
Right.
Which obviously...
Not round the corner.
Not round the corner from County Durham and Newcastle. And I was successful in getting that job on a trainee basis. So I think it was 17th of January 2007, I up sticks and drove my car down to Aldershot and started my career in management of buses, really.
Was that a good decision to make, in hindsight?
Yeah, well, I think looking back now, I've moved to the area and I'm from there. I went around and managed at various different locations around the south of England. And then in almost 10 years ago, got the job I'm doing now. So it's progressed well through there. And you know, opportunities that I perhaps wouldn't have had living where I was before. And the weather's better.
Well, yes, always. So what was Aldershot like? It was obviously different from Newcastle and around there.
Yeah, it's obviously very multicultural. There's a big, a really impressive Gurkha population has hit a long history with the army in Aldershot and all that shone through. So I liked finding out all about that. And lots of the bus drivers there were ex-military Gurkhas. So some fantastic stories used to get out of the drivers there. Lots of them shared the same surname, Mr. Grung. I think we had 63 Mr. Grungs employed. They didn't have many first names between them, so it was always interesting trying to understand their stories. And, there was always one who was the most senior in the army, and he was the one who would, you could speak to him and he would sort people out, and they would go to him to come to us. So
that's interesting.
Really, really interesting place to be, really. Lots of history.
It is, isn't it? Aldershot is... totally different, as I was saying, from Newcastle or whatever, but you've also got Odeon not far away.
The RAF base. The Chinooks base there. We used to run the bus up there, so I went for a few meetings up at the RAF base and things. There's lots of history around there, and across to Guildford, spent quite a lot of time there, and down towards Alton into that Hampshire. It was right on the border into Surrey as well, so very interesting.
Fascinating. So what was the most fascinating thing, do you think, in Aldershot, apart from the Gurkhas? Did you have a nightlife?
Fairly limited nightlife in Aldershot. I think I used to go to Guildford and meet friends and get the train up and meet friends in London because it wasn't too far away. I'd go out for some drinks and food in Aldershot occasionally, but I'd generally go elsewhere to meet friends and go out.
Do you have lots of friends? Well, just a few.
I had friends from... When I moved to the area, obviously, I didn't know anyone because I'd moved down from Durham, but I had quite a few friends who, from college and school and university who had moved to London as, from the north of England, people moving down to London is quite common for quite a lot of people at that university age. So I had quite a few friends down there. I'd go up and visit on a fairly regular basis, and then I made some friends with the various shared houses I lived in in the area in Aldershot.
That was good, though. You made friends with them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Rather living
in a shared house.
Yeah. I don't like you. Yeah. So when you were at university, they have, what do they call it, the bar? Student union.
Oh, yeah.
Did you go in there? Did you have bands or anything like that?
Yeah, there was bands and DJs. And I think I said I didn't stay in university accommodation. I travelled in from home. There were two people on my course at university who were at my college with me. So I had plenty of sofas to stay on for nights out. But yeah, there's plenty of, you know, Newcastle is a fantastic place for nightlife and socialising. So yeah, no shortage.
That's good, isn't it? Yeah, so where did you go next from Aldershot?
So I moved over to, I got offered a job. I think the job in Aldershot was a trainee manager post.
Right.
And then I was there for 6 months or so, about eight months living in Aldershot and working there. And then I was given the opportunity to have a full-time post, a permanent post.
Right.
But doing the same job, but over in Basingstoke. So there was a 4 or 5 month period where I lived in Aldershot and commuted to Basingstoke. And then I moved to Basingstoke and I was there for another couple of years.
So what does the training involve as a manager, trainee? What does that involve?
Like a lot of the grounding in buses is understanding what bus drivers have got to do and what buses are all about. And I'd been a driving supervisor. I kind of got that under my belt already. As a training manager, it's about dealing with people, really, and lots of HR and trying to understand discipline and coaching and training of new and existing drivers.
Was that challenging?
I never found it particularly challenging. I'm quite a straightforward person. I pick up things very quickly and I'm generally very good at communicating with people and sitting down and talking and coaching. So I never find it particularly challenging as such, but, you know, there's lots of hard work and effort went in.
I bet they did, yes. So lots of training. Did you have to go to a classroom to learn all about the management, or did you have to go elsewhere, or
most of it would be on the job learning from other managers, and then there was the company I worked for at the time. They used to hold some central training and development sessions for new managers that were based in various parts of the country. So you know, it's more about dealing with absence and dealing with different things like that, and employment law, like things that, you know, You can learn it on the job, but you really need to know exactly what you're doing and what you're saying. So
it's complicated.
It is, yeah. So those sort of things were in a classroom, but a lot of it is on the job training.
Mm. I like to think that being a manager is understanding people as well as understanding what you need to do. So it could be you've got Fred Bloggs here and he's got a problem, but Bert Jones over here, he has a similar problem, but it's not quite the same. Would you deal with them differently?
Yeah, so I think we try to deal with people individually, and I've always done that and listened to their specific problems. We've got to apply, there's got to be a level of consistency that mm-hmm. we can stick to, otherwise you can't treat one person completely different to another person.
No.
That's just not fair.
No.
So, but as long as you know where the line is, and some people can be that side of it, some can be this side of it, depending on circumstances. And, you know, even now with my managers I employ now, it's like, as long as we've got a reasoned basis behind why we're treating somebody slightly differently, and we can explain that, then I think that's always a good thing, that people like to be dealt with individually. And
absolutely.
Not everyone's set of circumstances is the same.
No. Intriguing. We're going to take a little break now for some adverts. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Vectis Radio.
Right, we're back now after those adverts. We're back here with Richard Tildesley. As we said before, he's the general manager of Southern Vectis, the Islands Buses. You were saying you were in Aldershot, and then you were a manager and you were having training to progress. Where should you go from there?
So after Aldershot, I moved over to Basingstoke. I was there for just over two years. Learning off a very experienced manager who was there at the time. So I think, you know, a lot of what I learned in my management style came from that person. I know that he taught quite a lot of different people who are still in the bus industry and I speak to now. And I was there for about 2 years. I lived quite close to where we were working. you know, Basingstoke's an interesting place, a new town after the war.
It is, yeah.
Rapid development and a huge shopping centre, and the offices were basically the basement of the shopping centre. I remember my office had no windows, so it was an interesting kind of, literally underneath the shopping centre, where people just, you know, you go shopping, you don't think what's underneath bus offices.
People don't
generally
care,
speaking,
generally.
No, they don't. So, a very interesting place to live. Again, great connections to the countryside and up to London, and connections up to the north and the trains and things. So it was a really good place to live and work.
Hundreds of roundabouts and lots of cycle tracks.
Yes, lots of roundabouts. One particular one that was fairly notorious for accidents and incidents, just because it wasn't like the big one in Paris where there's 17 lanes, but still fairly complicated. And trying to understand what car drivers are going to do when you're driving a large, long bus can be quite difficult to navigate sometimes.
Imagine it going, because they're not really predictable, are they?
No.
No. And the passengers? What were the passengers like? Are they generally nice to the driver, or...?
Yeah, the vast majority of passengers on buses are going about the daily business, going to work, going shopping, and just want an easy day out, really. And, you know, as a bus driver, you can greet them, thank them, and you get that same thing back. There's a minority of customers who maybe have had a bad day, maybe just don't want to talk. But all my time as a bus driver, and the times I still got driving now, you know, I always have a great time chatting away to people and... you know, you're not making friends, but there's no harm in being friendly, is there?
No.
And I think on the Isle of Wight, you know, Isle of Wight's probably one of the most friendliest places to drive a bus in the UK that I've come across. It really is a fantastic place for that.
That's good, isn't it? So you've been in Basingstoke. Where next?
So after Basingstoke, I went to Worthing and down towards in West Sussex. And I worked in Worthing and lived towards Brighton in a shared house with some friends I made there. Obviously, I was completely, you know, all the shop, Basingstoke, quite urban, middle of the seaside town of Worthing. And the offices were literally right on the seafront. There's palm trees out the front of it. It was like
so you weren't in the basement this
no,
time?
No, it was another world to the basement of Basingstoke, to the palm trees of Worthing. And again, a different environment in terms of drivers and people who you employ, you know, different life, different way of working, you know, probably quite similar to the Isle of Wight, a bit more laid back than somewhere like Aldershot or Basingstoke.
But you enjoyed that?
Yeah, no, I had a really good time. I was only down there for about 8 months in the end. But I had a shared house halfway towards Brighton from Worthing with some group of similar aged guys, and, you know, had a great time. And Brighton nightlife is... it's pretty good, so, you know, good work.
It's a vibrant
and good leisure.
City, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it's got everything you ever need, really. And then, you know, Worthing's quite a, it's not sleepy, but it's quite a laid back, more of an elderly population than elsewhere. But yeah, a really nice place to live and work.
So did you ever get to clean the buses, or is that someone else's job?
In my career, I've tried a bit of everything, and just to have an experience. So I've followed an engineer while they service a bus. I've done some cleaning of buses overnight, and tried to do a bit of everything. I've been a driver, been a supervisor, so kind of all the different aspects of a bus company.
Yeah.
I have tried at some point. I'm not saying that I've done it as a for weeks on end and no. As a professional, I know it inside out, but I've tried it, so I've got an appreciation of the roles.
Absolutely. So you were in Worthing. Where did you go after?
Well, so after that, I got a promotion to, because I was an assistant operations manager, I got a promotion to an operations manager, so I'm in Winchester.
All right.
Which is where I still live now, but I've moved jobs twice since then, but never left living there. So as the operations manager, you are in charge of that depot and that area and those drivers.
It's not just the drivers, is it? Because you've got the staff who check out all the buses.
Yeah, you've got the supervisors, inspectors, the travel shop, and the people who, the clerks in there who are dealing with customers, selling tickets and things like that.
Under your remit as well?
Yes. And then there's an engineering manager who looks after the maintenance of the vehicles and the cleaning, generally speaking, and then usually at a local head office there is a customer service team and commercial team who plan the timetables and things. And
right.
every bus commute is slightly differently, but there's all these different things in the background. And, you know, ticket machines, well, someone's got to program those. And we've now got this next stop announcement systems on the vast majority of our buses. You know, we go South Coast and who parts on the Vexus, we employ a couple of people now just to look after that, because there's all these, it's the back office systems that have grown up over time that need to be dealt with.
So don't use your voice then?
No, we use, on our next stop announcement, so a lot of companies still use it's not AI, but it's electronically generated, sounds like a robot voice.
Yeah.
Whereas we didn't like that, so we use, our head office is in Poole in Dorset, and we use a local radio station and a radio guy there who records all of our, so we get a professional quality. So when you hear the announcements on our buses, they're good quality because they're recorded professionally in a studio. And, you know, probably not too similar to what we are now, but in an actual proper studio. And we send them a list of words and phrases for them to read that have been, and that all gets programmed up in the background. So there's a lot of effort goes into that. It seems like something
sure
very simple,
does.
But there's a lot of effort goes into it.
It does, yeah. Interesting. So have you been down there to see this person?
I've not seen it, no. My colleagues in our commercial department.
I think they're supporting. I think you should go.
Well, yes. So I did. We have on the breezes on the Isle of Wight, the up-and-top buses, we have some commentary that runs through the same system for that. And that was recorded, that commentary with the historical and interesting places, and coming up on your right-hand side now is whatever it is. That's recorded locally on the Isle of Wight by somebody we know who's into radio, and so we have seen that bit done
right.
more locally.
Yeah, it's good. But it's interesting though, isn't it? Because you've got all the tourists here on the island, more tourists than you would have in, say, Aldershot or Basingstoke.
Yes, certainly more than Aldershot or Basingstoke. Worthing and Brighton, you obviously get a lot of tourists, but the Isle of Wight is, it probably outstrips those in terms of the amount of tourists that are coming here.
Yeah.
We're trying to get as many tourists who can to come home and leave their cars at home and travel without their cars, or if they need to bring their cars over, park their cars up and leave them and go out on our bus some days.
Absolutely.
Or go to the Needles and get on the open-top bus rather than drive up there.
We've seen the open-top buses going along there up to the Needles, and there's people freezing to death and soaking wet, and they're still going to be there.
Oh, yeah, no, it's all weather you see people out there. I've done it myself in the back end of October a number of years ago now. And it adds something to it. You're wrapped up, you're warm, you can have your coffee with you and a flask of coffee, and actually something nice about it. It's the point where, you know, in December and over Christmas, we do an open-top Christmas lights tour on the Isle of Wight. Which sells out every year. It's really popular, and you see people turning up with the 12 layers on. People bring sleeping bags to get warm, and you know, it's about what you can see. You can wear things that are appropriate. So
So you're in Winchester. Where next?
I went back to Aldershot.
All right.
But as the operations manager this time, and I stayed living in Winchester because I'd had a decent base there and wasn't too far to travel. So I went to Aldershot again, and I was there for 5 years. It was quite a big chunk of time, a longest piece of time in one place, really.
Yeah,
I was there for 5 years, and again, I was travelling between the two, but the same as what I said about Aldershot earlier on in terms of fantastic history and place to be.
So did you have any hobbies whilst you were out and about and round and through different cities, or didn't you have time?
It's having time. So I like travelling and visiting different places. So I go off and travelling and meet friends, music, going to gigs, cycling. Back then I did quite a lot of cycling as well.
So who's your favourite band?
I was a big Oasis fan back through history of
of
times. So probably, you know, in terms of what I like, but indie type music is probably my preferred.
You haven't thought of being in a band yourself then?
I haven't thought of being in a band. I was the roadie for a band and manager for my friend's band for about 2 years once, and I took them off on a tour for 7 weeks.
Where did
as
you
close
do
as I get.
Was it the world tour in the UK?
No, it was the UK. So we went to Scotland. We went to Scotland and various places around England. And I drove the van and set it up and dragged them around for a few weeks, and that was fun.
I bet, yeah. Did you have to be dressed all in black and have the headphones? And
No, it was not that formal, thankfully.
You were just a roadie, yeah.
just a roadie, yeah.
So is there any particular gig that sticks out in your mind that you roadied for?
I'm trying to think. Well, we went to probably my favourite one is they played at the Cavern Club in Liverpool.
All right.
Where the Beatles were famously made famous. And that was particularly good. I like the Beatles. Fantastic place, Liverpool. And you go underground into the caverns, you're in the basins. And, you know, there's a main room that's just got Beatles tribute acts playing what I think was 24 hours a day, from what I could figure out. And there's a side room where they have local bands in. So they played in there. So that was a really good and generally good atmosphere as well. So that sticks out.
So what was the name of your band?
My friend's band was called Crafty Simeon.
Oh, right.
It was a small band, local band.
Are they still going?
No. Fun whilst it lasted.
Right. So would you like to do something like that again for a short period of time?
I think those days are behind me now. two young kids. I don't think I can be doing that anymore.
Well, they could help.
Well, you know, one day one of those joins a band, I could drive them around the UK, that would be fine.
And where did you go after Aldershot?
So from Aldershot, I was working at Aldershot then when I got the job as my current role. And again, because it was based, my job, I work a couple of days in Southampton and a couple of days on the Isle of Wight. So I stayed based where I was in Winchester. I've moved houses a couple of times, but and I've been in this role since.
Are you enjoying it?
I love it, yeah. Every day is, coming to the Isle of Wight, as many days as I can is, you know, it's like coming on holiday to work most days.
And, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's, there's lots of different buses in the Isle of Wight. It's quite a varied bus company in terms of the local buses they operate, school contracts, private hires, open-top buses, different stakeholders we get to involve with over here is probably more than you would do in most bus companies in terms of visitor attractions and hovercraft companies and ferry companies and chairlift stands and needles and all sorts of things like that. So
you can't get a bus on the chairlift.
You can't. No, we get pretty close to it, actually. there's a very varied job in the Isle of Wight in Southampton. My role over there is the bus company in Southampton that I've been responsible for has grown exponentially over the past 10 years. So I've come busy on both sides of the water, really.
Brilliant. We're going to take another little break for some adverts. We'll be back in a minute.
Vectis Radio.
Right, we're back after the adverts with Richard Tilsley, who's the general manager from Southern Vectis, the island's buses. Now, you've got some nice new electric buses, I see. And what have you got to learn about those yourself?
So the learning with them has been fairly steep over the past 18 months in terms of the bus itself. You know, rather than fill up with diesel every night like we've done for the past 100 years here, we've now got to do something slightly different with them. We've got to park them up and plug them in. So there's two phases of the whole project were the actually buying and having the buses built and delivered. And then there's the charging infrastructure. So it's easy enough to buy a charger and plop it down out there and bolt it down to the ground, but it's getting the power into the site to have enough sufficient draw from the grid so that it can all charge overnight. So we've done particularly well with it here in the Isle of Wight. You know, some bus companies elsewhere in the country have really struggled to get the power in. We were fairly lucky in terms of there was enough power for this first set of buses pretty much readily available. But there's been lots of groundwork's gone on. We've had our own substation putting out here and high voltage and low voltage panels. And then they've had to dig underneath the concourse out here, which, you know, this bus depot is getting on for 100 years old. And they've found all sorts of bits underneath there, oil tanks and fuel tanks that were long since gone that nobody knew about. And they've navigated all of that. They've dug a big hole down the street to find and connect into the power source, but, you know, it's as simple as we need to get a big cable in, plug it into a substation, and then have all the power kick out around the chargers. You know, the roof's 100 years old and trying to get cables across all roofs has been difficult. But, you know, that's all resolved now. It is still fairly new technology. The buses are a new generation of bus. So it's working through the intricacies of those. But generally speaking, now I think we're at the bottom of most of the teething issues we've had.
Brilliant. There's always teething issues with everything, isn't there?
There are, yeah. Especially if it's a new technology and something that's replacing.
But you have that with a new house, don't you? You have to go around and check everything that's done.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're still living in Winchester?
Yeah.
When did you come over here? What year?
When did I start? So I started 2017.
Right.
Hang on. Is that right? So, no, 2016. October 2016 is when I started. Started with my employer, of course. I was coaching and looking after that. I'd been over on holiday several times before that. I'd been my parents a few times. I'd been with my now wife on holiday a few times. I've been on a few day visits as well. So, yeah, I knew the Isle of Wight before I came here.
And you love it?
I love it. And I've not found anyone who doesn't love it. Everyone in our wider company who works elsewhere is always very keen and happy to come for a visit to the Isle of Wight.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, it's very, very different to going elsewhere. Again, it's like coming on holiday. So when you're coming from somewhere quite urban and coming on a ferry to the Isle of Wight, it does feel like coming on a holiday for work.
If you'd had your life over again, would you have done anything different, do you think?
Well, I think I always think about there's various different times that I could have stayed in the northeast and probably ended up not doing buses or still be doing buses, but maybe I wouldn't have got to where I would have done. So I was thinking, you know, fondly of the time of moving down to the south, as I would call it, and moving round, you know. And again, if I hadn't moved down there, I wouldn't have met my wife, wouldn't have met my friends, wouldn't have visited the Isle of Wight as much.
So basically, no, you wouldn't do anything different.
I don't think so. No, I think I'm, you know, in terms of the way life has panned out, it's been it's fairly kind to me, and you know, it's given me opportunities that I most likely wouldn't have had elsewhere.
No. So what do you think is next for you, if anything?
I think I'll, you know, continue to promote buses and sustainable transport on the Isle of Wight and elsewhere. Looking to expand our market on the Isle of Wight and over in Southampton. And I now look after a coach company over in Dorset as well, so I get over there half a day, a week or so as well. And at some point I'd like to potentially move on to another position up in the chain. But I think the job I have now as general manager, I'm involved in so much that there's always something new popping up, so I never get bored. It's a very varied role.
Which you're thoroughly enjoying, by the looks of it.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Never a dull day.
I bet. What do you think you might do when you retire? Assuming you will retire.
Well, I hope so. I'd rather retire sooner rather than later, but wife keeps reminding me I've got a mortgage I need to pay until I'm 65, at least. We talk about with my wife quite often about, you know, when we're retired, should we move to the Isle of Wight? We've considered it many times over the past years. But with our kids and my wife's job, it's not really practical. But we always say, you know, when the kids leave home and when we retire, could we?
Who knows?
Yeah. But I could see myself, I drop my wife there at 55, I'm going to retire from my profession and just go back bus driving again.
Yeah.
And again, she reminds me about the mortgage.
Right. There's always a mortgage, isn't there? You've got your wife, your children, you've got a dog?
Having a dog, bone of contention. I love dogs. Wife doesn't like any animals. So,
I'm
trying to convince my children to, at some point, we'll outvote the wife and have an animal.
Oh, I do like dogs. Is there anything else you'd like to say to people that might inspire them to go their way? Go to university, don't go to university, follow their dreams, or what?
Well, I think I speak to a lot of people about doing what you want to do and doing what you like rather than going off to do a profession that you've got no interest in.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the bus industry, I always champion as much as possible in terms of lots of people start off as just bus drivers and then work their way up. And there are lots of opportunities to progress yourself up from kind of supervisory level to assistant manager to manager, and you know, all of the the two managers who look after Southern Vectis on a daily basis both start as bus drivers with Southern Vectis. The supervisors, everyone started as a bus driver with Southern Vectis. I started not with Southern Vectis. I started as a bus driver and worked my way up. So actually, you know, it is you know, it's really key that good people start at the bottom and work their way up.
Yes.
So there are lots of opportunities for people to make their way, and you know, you don't have to go to university. Some people do, some people don't. I think it depends on what you want to do. Lots of people, probably like me, where they don't really know what you want to do. Some people know what they want to do, and you go off and you get trained specifically for that.
Absolutely.
But I think it's just, you know, do what you like and be happy with it.
I think that's about right, isn't it? So do you have a favourite tune, song or track that we can play at the end of your interview?
I'm just trying to think of something. I'm trying to think of my favourite Oasis song probably isn't too palatable. So The Master Plan by Oasis is probably my...
Master Plan.
The Master Plan by Oasis is my...
Right.
Generally speaking, it's my favourite album. And that's my favourite song on there.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Richard. It's been really, really interesting and fascinating. And your journey through life has been more interesting than you thought it would be.
And
and you've remembered stuff and all sorts.
It's always good to think, go back down memory lane, isn't it, and think about stuff that you might have forgotten.
Yes, well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
It's been very, very interesting.
If you would like to hear this or any other of the conversations again, go to the Vectis Radio webpage, vectisradio.com, and you can find it amongst the podcasts.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing at vectisradio.fm.